Welcome to another episode of The Baraza. At The Baraza, we aim to talk about Africa, the African story, and the African experience. I'm your host, Benjamin Walgwe, alongside my co-host, Patrick Wandolo. We are on episode 3. And on today's episode, we want to talk about plagiarism by the West. Yeah, you heard me. Stealing of intellectual property and stealing of ideas and stealing of everything by the West. Yeah. So, let's talk. Great. So, Patrick, how you doing, man?
Yes, Benjamin. I'm doing good. I'm fine. And you?
I'm all right. Thank God for, we've come this far. Episode 3, man.
Yeah, it's great, man. It's just like, you know, things are moving fast.
Yeah. 100%.
All right.
Yeah. So let's jump into it.
Yeah.
So I came across a story, man.
Yeah. Tell me about it.
You know, the West. Wow. You know, it's not that I enjoy doing this, but, you know.
Yeah, I do.
We have to bring to light what exactly is happening and what most of people in Africa and what most people don't know, you know, behind the scenes. So I came across a story.
Yeah.
There's a retail company in the UK, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Specifically in Lancashire.
Okay.
And the company is called Timbuktu.
Oh, interesting.
Okay.
Timbuktu.
Yeah.
Our Timbuktu?
Timbuktu.
Okay, interesting.
Yeah. So, they have no affiliation with the Yoruba language or tribe.
Mm-hmm.
But they went further and trademarked the word Yoruba.
Wait, we are not talking about
I know. Let it sink in for a minute. They trademarked the word Yoruba.
You must be joking, right?
Yeah, and they're actually opposing anyone else from using it.
Are you serious?
Yep.
And that trademark officer actually accepted that?
Why not?
So
they called their company Timbuktu
in the first place. That alone is an insult.
Exactly. That's a city in Mali.
Yes, a great city.
And on top of that, they went ahead and trademarked Yoruba.
How fuck a people? Their culture. No, Benjamin, are you serious?
I'm not kidding you, man.
It's like trademark in my language, Oluo.
Exactly. That's ridiculous. Someone trademarking Maasai, and you're like, no one can use this.
That office, you know, they sat down, there was a board meeting, and they said, sounds good. Really brilliant. Yeah, all right.
And how this came to light
is
there's a dude who was trying to register because he supports children. He was trying to register his trademark of Yoruba Stars. In that process,
then he was told that
he got an email, you know, from Timbuktu Global, you know, that opposed the registering of the trademark.
The audacity. Goodness.
Are you kidding me? And, you know, this stuff has been happening. It's not the first time. You know, it's not the first time that this has happened.
Unfortunately.
I can give you an example with the Kikoi.
Yes.
This is a fabric from Kenya.
And not to forget the Kyondo.
Yeah, Kyondo, Japan.
In fact, both of them, I think it was one case.
Was it one case, really?
Because both were Japan, yeah, patented by Japan, both. Was it?
I don't know who patented them. I know Kyondo was Japanese.
Siodo, in the Kikuyu language.
Yeah. So like how they trademarked Kikoi.
This is just amazing.
Was they removed they removed the I at the end and they put a Y. So it's Kikoi.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Sneaky buggers. All right.
Yeah. You know.
Goodness.
Yeah. It's crazy. And this is public knowledge, man.
Yes, yes.
This is not like if you look it up, yeah, boom, you'll find it.
And without a fight, we just accepted
it. Dude, you know, what can I say? We don't even protect our own products. We don't protect our own stuff, you know. In my opinion, you know, we need to start investing in things like, you know, education in intellectual property, you know.
Exactly.
Stuff like that. You know,
yeah,
we need to start teaching. Like honestly, like you should have a course, like maybe in high school, where you can do law, for example, and it gives you the introduction. You don't have to go in depth, but you can get an introductory kind of course into law, where you get to understand like patent laws and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So even if you're trying to set up or run a business at an early age, you know, you don't get played.
Yeah, like included like in the Bachelor of Commerce course, there should be patent laws. But this is something that I think government needs to sensitize the people. You know, patents and all the inventors that we have, and intellectual property and all that. This should be at the forefront of all our creatives.
Yep.
You know, that should be out there to sensitize people.
Yep.
Because that's where the money is. You have a good concept, but you didn't patent it. There you go. Anyone will come and pick it up and run with it.
Yep.
And you know what? The most ridiculous thing about this case is that who in his wildest dream would think that someone would patent your tribe?
Exactly. It's, you know, I keep on laughing because hearing it back to myself, dude, that's some funny stuff. You can't make it up. That's some funny stuff. You know.
Yeah. So like on you know, if you were on television and you were called in as a guest and they say, oh, where are you from? Oh, by the way, I'm Yoruba. No, that's patented. You can't sleep.
You know.
What nonsense is that? I think they've gone too far. And probably we as, I don't know, maybe through African Union. Okay, African Union is a lame duck, but, you know, we can build upon it. But we need to actually, you know, fight for terms to be changed in terms of the patent laws internationally.
100%, especially with the fact that they're trying to introduce the free trade, you know?
Yes.
Free trade zone.
Yes.
So
yes.
I'm like, what the hell?
Yes, you're not taking care of the details, but you're looking at the bigger picture without looking at the smaller details that will actually affect your trade. Because if you're talking about intra-African trade, like African Union wants to start the free trade, the African Continental Free Trade Area,
yeah,
then that means that's obviously value addition and brands.
Yeah.
Now, if you don't brand, then we are back to square one again. You're doing all the work, the donkey work, and they simply walk into the and patent it, and maybe change one or two things about it. That's all.
Exactly.
But how do you
compete with in a global market? Whereby, let's assume even the Yoruba decided that, you know what, today we are going to start manufacturing, okay, as a tribe.
Yeah.
and we want to call, because they have the right to call whatever they want to call Yoruba. Yeah. They actually have a right.
Yes, they do.
And nobody else has a right.
Yeah.
So how do they start competing? Yet out there, there's someone else who's just sitting and basically making money off them. If I can actually say that.
Yeah, because they will now ask for royalty.
Exactly. It's crazy. And you know, and there's so many examples, even when you look at invention, okay?
Yeah.
You have in so many instances, you'll find that a lot of black people have actually done a lot.
Exactly. Yes.
With zero recognition whatsoever. If I asked you, for example, do you know a lady by the name of Dr. Shirley Jackson?
No. Who is she?
She led her work led to different inventions, you know. Touch on phones, portable fax machines, fiber optic cables, you know, long distance phone calls, you know, making them crystal clear, and stuff like that. She was the first black woman to earn a doctorate from MIT.
Wow.
The first black female president of a major technological institute.
Wow.
She went on to become the first black woman appointed chair of the U.S. Nuclear Regulatory Commission.
My God. My God. Now, she has so many achievements.
Now, who would know someone like that?
Me.
You know? Exactly.
It's terrible. I'm even embarrassed for myself. You know, this is something that I should know.
Yeah. In all this, like for example, in Europe, because Africa, we are not really affected by harsh climatic conditions, you know?
Yes.
Things like winter and all that, we are not really affected. But something as simple as you're in Europe, you're in America, you're wherever you are, and you walk into your house and it's winter or it's summer, okay? And you turn on your heater. Okay?
Yes.
Now, you have a lady by the name of Alice H. Parker. Who took it upon herself to design a natural gas-fueled heating furnace.
Wow.
And this was in 1919. Which gave birth... 1919, dude. Which gave birth to the thermostat.
Wow. So why do you think this was happening in your view?
It's just a simple thing as, okay, fine, you know what, you did this, then again you're a woman, and then on top of that a black woman at that.
Okay.
And it's just someone just hijacks your invention and hijacks your intellectual property, and it's all for profit. It's ones and zeros at the end of the day.
Ones and zeros and prejudice.
100%.
Yeah. Well, to piggyback on that, you know, like if we, you know, I don't know, I like using the American Patent Office just as you used it as an example. Just to highlight, the Patent Act of 1793 and 1836 barred enslaved Africans from obtaining patents because they were not considered citizens, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so we have people like Cyrus McCormick, who was considered the father of agriculture. For revolutionizing the farming industry with the invention of the mechanical reaper. But little is reported about Joe Anderson. Yeah? Yeah, because he... that is Cyrus McCormick. But little Now, Joe, sorry, let me get it right. Joe Anderson, there's no mention of him, but there's Cyrus McCormick, who was his slaveholder. Get it? Who took up, now, who went and patented Joe Anderson's invention.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it was whoever beat the other to the patent office, because slaves were actually coming up with these inventions to make their work easy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And they had serious skills. We have Benjamin Montgomery, who was born into slavery in
1819.
Mm. Yeah.
Mm.
And he invented a propeller that could cut into water at different angles, thus allowing the boat to navigate more easily through shallow water.
Mm.
But he attempted to patent his invention, but he was rejected.
Mm.
You know, the list goes on and on. There's so many inventions that, you know, the slave masters took credit for. You know, Henry Boyd's bed. You know, and it's unfortunate. And so hence, Black excellence is not celebrated. And this continues to modern day, you know, the modern, you know, world. Because we have stuff, like, look at it. We can talk of the biodiversity in Africa, whereby what would happen is the West would come to Africa to research on different various plants, because we're very rich in biodiversity.
Mm.
And then they would sit down with the local, maybe healer, so to speak.
Mm.
The local healer would take them through the medicinal values of various plants and herbs.
Mm-hmm.
And carry with them these samples. You know, they'll be shown what kind of conditions that these plants thrive under and where to pick them up from. Then they would rush to their countries and patent. And in fact, they would even clamor. You'd find like 100 companies clamoring to patent a certain plant or tree because of its medicinal value. Yeah? And this is against the United Nations Convention on Biological Diversity, which is found in 180 countries around the world that acknowledge. But there are no punitive measures for the theft of these patents. So I'll just give you an example, like even the HIV medicine.
Mm-hmm.
There is a plant that was actually a plant extract that was actually being used from Africa to make it. I think it's the Uvaria clinary.
Uvaria?
Uvaria clinary. It's also called the mystery plant, which was taken out of Africa and patented. Yeah?
What? Now,
yes, and big pharmaceutical multinationals now own it till today and yet deny us affordable HIV AIDS drugs.
What?
Yes. So this has been happening, and wow, it's when you just, you know, do some research, there's so much of this happening in terms of medicines and fertilizers and pesticides. To Africa, identify the plant, they go and do their research, they patent the whatever, the medicinal value of that plant extract, and there, we are left reeling.
Mm.
So plagiarism has been something they've been doing, and then they take credit for it for a while, because we know that Africans had a lot of herbs and and plants we use to use for various stuff. And another school of thought also blames Christianity. Mm. Because when Christianity came in, then there were certain herbs and plants that we used to burn to chase away bad spirits, so to speak.
Uh-huh.
So when Christianity came, we stopped. We stopped using these plants, and these plants now have become extinct. And the
were considered illegal.
Illegal, or you know, you're burning something at your oracle, you know.
Yeah.
Go there, but yeah, you know, it's just the same way that, you know, you'd pray to the Virgin Mary or something like that. I think it's the same concept.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but you tell us that our gods are, you know, worshiping idols. But all the same,
witchcraft.
Yeah, witchcraft. Yes. Yeah?
Yeah. So, like, stop this juju.
Yeah, stop this juju, yeah?
Yeah, and a guy is just talking to his ancestors.
Yeah. You see, the thing is, all religions believe in a supreme being. It's just that we're climbing a hill from different sides.
But don't you think that is an amazing strategy, though?
It is.
Because if you think about it, take away their beliefs, take away their culture,
yeah,
you know, and give them what we feel is correct and what they should conform to. And
then
that's it. And take all their identity, all the artifacts, all the paintings, sculpt, everything is sitting in museums in Europe.
Yeah.
It's, and you know, some of those artifacts and some of those sculptures and all that were actually sacred and used, you know,
in
different ceremonies, in prayer, in all this stuff.
Yeah. France refused to do that. France was asked the other day, they refused to return the artifacts. In fact, there's a guy who attempted to carry some out of the museum, and he was arrested. He was an African. It's very recent. I think it was last month. It was on the news.
Mm.
Because he said, these are artifacts. I'm just taking what is ours.
Mm.
Why should you stick onto it? You don't even know what it means.
Exactly.
Yeah? You don't even know what it means.
But do you really think that they don't know what it means? Do you really think that they don't know the importance of those artifacts to Africa? Till today, why would you be so adamant in keeping someone's possession? It's not yours.
Well, probably.
So is there...
No, what...
You really think they don't know what those artifacts are? You really think they have no clue?
They do. I think they know. It's
100%.
It's a well-executed plan to now, you know, you take away everything. It's you know, because, you know, now you have a blank. Now you can fill it in. You can write whatever story you want. You can create the history you want. You can blow off the noses off the sculptures in Egypt and repaint them, you know, lighter skinned and whatever, and ignore the pyramids in Sudan, and, you know, systematically change your names, let them take our slave, you know, the slave owner's name, so, and create heroes for you who will serve their interests. So basically we are living their life, the life that they planned out for us.
Yeah, but you know, it's so ironical, because, you know, and there's so many examples, because I think there's something interesting I also saw, which was, I think the only time that any two popes have been alive is Francis and Benedict, right?
Okay. Yes.
And they actually met. Now, when they met, and this is not like, I'm not talking stuff that is not there. Like, if you look it up, it's even on YouTube, you know? Like,
okay.
Yeah, when they met, they actually went to, this was at the Vatican, right?
Yeah.
And they went to the prayer room. And in the prayer room, you know, as they're kneeling to pray, I was just looking around because I was trying to look at the art and stuff like that. And on the wall, right in front of them, is a portrait of the Black Madonna carrying a baby. So I was like, who is the Black Madonna? Could it be Mary?
Could.
Because I was like, who is that really? Why would you have a portrait of a black woman
carrying
a kid in the Vatican, in the prayer room? You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's just the same way. Like, I learned that in ancient Egyptian religion, or Egypt, what if you want to refer to it as Egyptology, they had the Trinity, the Holy, you know, the what we call the Holy Trinity in Christianity, which was basically the family. Of a man, a woman, and the child. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It was actually the family unit, the strength of the family unit. And our prayer, Amen, was actually an Egyptian, was actually borrowed from the Egyptian religion, which is Amen Ra. So, you know, when you look at the Pope's headgear, that was borrowed from Egyptian, ancient Egypt religion. So, you know, I started discovering very interesting stuff. And this information is not in the mainstream, because there's a school of thought, or rather there's a narrative that, you know, that is being pushed down your throat, that this is the way things went. Why would you go to the extent of blowing up the noses of, you know, sculptures in Egypt? Why is it so important? You know, why don't you want us to, but you want to paint Egypt white. So what's your motivation?
Who knows? There's even a better example, Medusa, that we all know.
There you go.
Talk about Medusa. Medusa was just created by Greek society to demonize black women, specifically those involved in traditionally African spiritual practices.
Yes.
Indeed. You know, and this was just done with the hope of discouraging race mixing with the genetically dominant melanated masses and maintain white genetic survival.
Wow.
So there's so many stories that have been concocted, because the Medusa, what is on her head is depicted like snakes, right?
Snakes, yes.
But
they're just dreadlocks.
But dreadlocks.
Yeah. Simple.
you know, and then, man.
Yeah.
There's a lot of misinformation that was fed to Africans about their culture, their spirituality, everything. It's just upside down. We really don't, we can't identify with something, you know?
And
we are scared. We are even scared of our own practices, you know? We are in fear. We are like, what? Talk to my ancestors. What?
What? No. I mean, we were trying. Christianity came to Africa.
Totally.
Yeah. We were communicating with our God.
But you know, that's another thing. I think you also need to look it up. The history of Christianity. Did it really start from the West?
I believe it was ours.
Again, who knows?
Yeah, but I'll because like you see the those 66 books that were left out of the Bible. Yeah, the Book of Daniel and these other ones. And those mentioned now, the books that are left out, is it deliberately or coincidentally have black people mentioned within them?
I don't know.
Yeah, no, I'm telling you.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. So, and then they talk of human beings should be knowledge seekers, as opposed to what we're being told that you shouldn't question.
Yep.
You shouldn't question. And but when you look at it, the version, when you're saying the Bible, the King James Version, all these kings were revising the Bibles to achieve their own ends.
I could see that.
Yeah. It was all about the agenda that they wanted to. And so they would release various versions. But when, and then there are certain scrolls that were found. Is it in the Dead Sea? Mm-hmm. The Dead Sea?
The Dead Sea Scrolls?
Yeah, a lot of the material from the Dead Sea Scrolls was left out of the Bible. And some scholars sat down somewhere and decided, no, we are not including this and we're including this by virtue.
Yeah. You know,
yeah, so
I really don't know what the West fears. Like, it's like a fear of the black man and the black woman. It's a fear, like it's a literal fear.
Yeah, well,
because I think behind deep down, I think they're like, man, if these people really know who they are and what power they wield,
then
it's a wrap.
And that's why they will do everything for us never to discover the truth. Now, if they had to go all to the, you know, to the extent of dissipating and destroying Black Wall Street.
Yeah.
Yeah. Memorial Day was celebrated just the other day. What happened in Tulsa was just unfortunate. Those were thriving businesses. When a black man was given an opportunity to rise and flourish, they achieved excellence. They owned hotels, bars, you know, the works.
Couldn't
understand why should a black man thrive. They were not disturbing anyone. So there were like 600 businesses there, 21 churches, about 21 restaurants, 30 grocery stores, 2 movie theaters, 6 private airplanes, a hospital, bank, post office, the works. So imagine if was left to thrive, wouldn't the trajectory of black people be different? What example would they have set for generations to come?
That's true. But then again, if you think about it, because something just hit me, especially when it comes to pharmaceuticals, right?
Yeah.
Now, if it was actually okay to have our, like, I don't even understand why herbalists need to hide to just practice their trade.
Why
are you hiding? Why can't you just regulate it and say, okay, you know what? We're going to regulate what you're doing. We need to figure out the dosage for what someone needs to take, because I think that's where the problem comes in, especially when it comes to dosage.
Big pharma will not allow that to happen,
because they're going to go out of business.
Yeah, big pharma will not allow that. No,
was it Mauritius, the guys who came up with their own COVID remedy?
Yes, they
and
did.
it was discredited, like you can't even believe. And sometimes, you know, we also need to believe in ourselves. Why do we have medical school? medical schools. Why do we have that if we're going to rely on the West 24/7?
Tell us what to do.
Give us what they feel is right for us, and we just move. However, we are thrown left, we move left, and we are quick to move without asking why.
Now it's so complex because it's a multifaceted attack, because you find it first, you've imposed puppet leaders in Africa who have to legislate laws that favor the West in terms of trade and all that. So now, like, you remember Professor Bell who came up with Pearl Omega, he was president, but his
did Pearl Omega really actually I remember Pearl Omega, I never heard of like testimonials that I used Pearl Omega and it worked,
Because also HIV AIDS was very new to the world. People even didn't know how it was spreading.
Yeah.
Thing. At that time. And eventually, Pearl Omega formed the manufacture of the cocktail of ARVs.
Now look at that. I didn't even know that. I didn't know that.
Yeah, it did. But of course, it won't be said. I mean, Kemri does a lot of research, but what? Again, patenting. Just like now, the latest during, we're going through the COVID pandemic currently, and the big pharma, the companies that are producing these big, the vaccines, have refused to waiver their patents and intellectual property rights to Africa so that we can produce it cheaply. But on the flip side, I'm asking myself, why, with all our research institutes in every African country, why haven't we been able to come up with something?
So hold on, are you saying that we need permission from the West to be able to manufacture our own vaccines?
If we are to use the ingredients or whatever, the recipe, I don't know what you call it, but we'd need to pay the royalties. So that's that discussion
How is that even possible, dude?
During a pandemic, that's not meant to happen. You're not meant to be talking about patterns, but we can't just decide to.
Let me guess, Fauci probably wrote that patent.
Yeah. So, that shouldn't even be the case, because if you don't sort out the other side of the world, definitely it will spill over. We're living in a global village right now. We're pretty mobile. So if you don't take care of one part of the world, definitely it will affect you. And it's like God has been so kind to us. I think it's hard by COVID, but all taking that away, I mean, we have the ability, because all these traditional medicines, herbs and trees and plants that inform the manufacture of medicines now eventually come from Africa. So why aren't our governments investing enough in research and formalizing this informal sector? Value addition, as we say. We always talk about value addition, whether it's in chemicals, it's in medicine, it's in herbs. We are not value adding. Again, raw materials. Yeah, so someone sits somewhere and patents. He didn't sweat. All he did, he studied, he listened to the medicine man speak, this heals when you have a headache. And they go under the microscope and study what's the chemical composition of this, and patent.
Yeah.
And that's what's been, it's sad.
But it's funny how information is not disseminated, because today I honestly sit and I wonder, we constantly hear this plaguing problem of jobs in Africa.
Mm-hmm.
Yet, you know, there are some technical professions where you find experts being brought in because they have the technical know-how. Okay.
Yes. Yes, indeed.
To simply do things that we as Africans can do for ourselves, and they are paid top dollar.
Yes.
Fully paid. That those guys are cooling off in the sun, man. You know, basking.
Yeah, they normally like work like two days a week. The rest they're playing golf, teeing off at some, you know, resort somewhere, golf club somewhere. But it's a mindset, and it's, you know, remember we were talking about mind control and brainwashing, and mm-hmm. it's a mindset whereby you're investing on educating your people, but you have no faith in your people.
Exactly. And the most hilarious thing is, you know, when we need a
football coach for a national team, we go and look for some white guy out there
because he must be good at it.
Yeah. And the other time, I don't know where a coach for our local team Gor Mahia was picked from the streets or somewhere just because of the color of his skin, and he was a failure. He was just a guy who was trolling. He had no experience whatsoever.
Yeah,
it's really, really sad.
You know, and
you know, like, sorry, just to finish, Benjamin Ayimba.
As much as we may call someone like, you know, Putin has been called all sorts of things, but I think he also shoots straight. And you know, in one of his speeches, he called Africa a graveyard. And that statement in itself, I sat down and I thought about it and I was like, what? Because he said, first of all, you send your kids to be educated in the mm-hmm. West. You hide your money and you say abroad.
You invest abroad.
Most people go for medical treatment abroad.
Abroad.
Everyone, you know, is
hoping
to get their big break and move to the West.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
In search for greener pastures.
Yes, the land of milk and honey.
After all is said and done, you come back home and you're buried.
Yeah, and that's you've not added value to Africa whatsoever.
Zero value whatsoever to Africa.
From the clothes on your back to what you eat.
Yep.
All imported.
Yep, and a simple thing, even as the interest rate that is being charged on your money in an offshore account. That's not money coming back to the continent.
No.
So what are you doing?
You're building.
You're not building this continent. You're a leech.
Yeah, it's modern day slavery, just as France is doing to Africa currently.
So, man.
So it's crazy, Benjamin, because we look at it even from the aspect of culture. How they've stolen some of our culture from cuisine, you know, down south in America, you know, heavily influenced by African cuisine. Gumbo is made thicker using okra from Senegal.
Imagine.
You know, and then you call it your own.
Look at dance.
Oh my God.
You know the song, This is America?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh,
It's the shoulder movement is derived from Ethiopian dance.
Yes, indeed.
So I'm like, what? It's crazy. We're looking at fashion. Most of the designs in fashion stem from the African continent. Fabric.
Let's look at fabric.
Let's look at hair.
Cornrows.
Originally, cane rose.
Yeah, cane rules, huh? Ah, okay. Cane rules,
because how they used to like escape sometimes from the farms.
Drawing maps.
They would plait the hair in cornrows, but with the design of the farm.
Yes, exactly.
And they would hide some seeds in their hair and plait it.
Wow, imagine that.
Yeah,
we were doing it from back in the day, you know, earrings and stuff. The Maasai, the braid.
Now it's a cool thing. Everybody got cornrows. Everybody's doing this, but you don't know the origin of it.
Yep.
You know, it's like the simple aspect of sagging. You know, when you see guys sagging their pants and all that.
Yeah.
The origin, it's not that it was cool. It's because they had to tie their pants, and they used to be given pants that don't fit them, the slaves.
Exactly.
And the pants would drop a bit. But trust black people to always make something cool. They're always going to look at the brighter side of it, and they're like, you know what, we can make something out of this.
Man, in that kind
and,
of situation.
And then the whole world follows.
Yeah, in that kind of situation, the only thing that you have to hold on to that keeps you alive is hope, man.
I'm telling you.
You know, so much was going against these slaves, man.
Yep.
You know, our brothers and sisters up there. Let me not say these slaves. Our brothers and sisters. It was difficult. But you see, all this. Now we're talking about, you know, theft of our authenticity, our religion, our culture, our ideas. You know, our
Europe
mind.
Europe was built on the back of black people, though. Architecture, yes. All that.
Oh, yeah.
All that. 100%. You know, no one can wake up and say, oh, you know what? Hell no.
No, we did a little note. They didn't.
Hell no.
They didn't.
Look at Mali, Mansa Musa, richest man who lived. You know.
Yeah, even explored, was it Spain?
Yeah, Timbuktu. You had scholars coming from all over the world to Mali to study.
It had the world's oldest library?
Yes.
Yeah.
You know.
And it was, in fact, coins from all over the world were found at Timbuktu.
Yep.
And there were coins of Mansa Musa that were found in Italy?
Mm-hmm.
You know, he was the first.
Yep.
You know, a lot of Islamic scholars used to go to Timbuktu because the meeting point
of trade, it was thriving.
Mm. Had he was powerful yet. So that's how they explored Spain.
Yep.
You know, and this is not spoken about.
Look at Hannibal.
Oh my God. The art of war.
Hannibal brought Rome to its feet.
Yeah, but it's depicted as a white.
The guy marched all the way from North Africa, man. With
his elephant.
With how many troops? I think 100,000 troops? 37 elephants?
Yeah.
And you know he crossed the Alps, right?
Hey, by the way, that reminds me, Sparta. Sparta is like an adaptation of that.
Well, more or less, yeah.
300. You've watched that movie.
Xerxes.
Yes, with the elephants.
Yeah. I saw that. I was like, look at you. Yeah. You know, because you see the whole black on the horizon and the elephants.
Yes.
Yeah, Rome was in shock. They were like, what? Oh my God. Yeah, he worked on those guys properly. But
it's crazy. It's crazy. Now, you know, like, in terms of stealing of African, we can even, I read somewhere about, what is his name? This Pablo Picasso.
Yeah.
And, apparently, African art experts have long acknowledged that he actually stole, his life's work was influenced heavily by African art, and he stole a lot of our ideas. And you know what he said? When researchers said it was called it cultural appropriation, what he said, while Africans were calling it theft, Picasso said, good artists copy, great artists steal. Imagine that. Imagine that. So these guys have stolen so much, and it's still going on. Like Led Zeppelin stole a song from Willie Dixon.
Yeah.
Yeah. And by the way, these characters have you know, they have the kahunas, because they've been involved in so much of this that they were actually taken to court, because you know, most of their works were stolen.
Yeah.
Yeah. And now, in case in point, Willie Dixon's song Whole Lot of Love.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he was amazed. You know, he was just listening to the radio and he had his song on the radio and he was like, what? Yeah? And Led Zeppelin is notorious for this. A lot of their songs. Crazy guy.
Notorious for plagiarizing stuff.
Yeah, yeah. You know, back now, you have, until you have a case in court, man, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Elvis was also once accused. Now we're going into arts. You know, Elvis was also once accused of stealing music.
Mm.
I think Hound Dog.
Mm.
Yeah. Mm. The Hound Dog was sung by, I think, Willie May.
Mm.
Big Mama Thornton, as it was called. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So. So there was, of course, and of course he rushed into copyright as usual.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so this has been happening. I think what we need to lobby as Africans is for the patent regulations and rules of engagement to completely change. You cannot purport to patent another person's culture. Ridiculous. If you tell me that the next time I wake up, Luo is going to be patented by some miscellaneous Italian somewhere.
Mm.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. There should be parameters now in terms of culture and cultural names. There should be parameters and proper agreed upon rules of engagement in regards to that. When somebody comes and presents that, you say, no, this is actually the culture of this community and you cannot do that. But countries also in Africa, and I would say AU, African Union, really needs to play a bigger role and be more you know, push their weight more, because I feel they're too laid back. I don't know why, but they should be canvassing for rights, patent rights for Africa and rules of engagement internationally, so that once we come up with our brands, we can compete on a level playing ground. And you know, the world cannot continue, you know, raping Africa of its intellectual property and its ability. Yeah, because they're profiting, they're profiteering from it, and then they sell us back these products once they've patented them, because now we can't use them, though we have all the knowledge about them, okay, some knowledge, but we are not formalizing a lot of these skills and stuff that we have. That is where the disconnect is.
Mm.
Revolution only begins by formalizing, so that now you can then now do mass production and do proper research on them, and you know that. All that stuff.
Mm.
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah, what do you say, man?
Wow.
Yeah.
That's crazy, though.
Yeah, it's crazy.
That's crazy. Wow. Hey, What a conversation. What a conversation. As usual, we can go on and on and on and on and on, but unfortunately, we're out of time. So, yeah, as usual, we end with any solution, Patrick? Anything you'd want to throw out there?
All I'd want to say is that our institutions in Africa, spearheaded by African Union, needs to play a bigger role in regards to patenting. And we, African leaders all over the world, let alone Africa, should teach the artists, the scientists, the inventors of the importance of patenting their creations and intellectual property. It's not good enough just to come up with an invention and let someone else take the glory and profiteer from it. So let's educate our people worldwide on the importance of just that one move, which isn't too expensive, by the way. Yes.
Wow, amazing.
Yep.
You know. Wow, it's been an amazing show. Wow, episode 3, fire.
Yep.
Yeah. As usual, to our listeners, thanks for joining us this week on another episode of The Baraza. You can catch all our episodes on Spotify, Google Podcasts, or Apple Podcasts, or via RSS, so you'll never miss a show. While you're at it, if you found any value in this show or this episode, we'd appreciate a rating, or if you'd simply tell a friend about the show, that would help us too. Be sure to tune in next week for our next episode. And as usual, I leave you with a quote. And this time, I will start by expressing something. You know, I think in Africa, the first thing that we need to do is be at peace with ourselves. Because I think that will be the beginning of progression. Because for as long as we have tribalism, for as long as we have discrimination based on, you know, based on location, and you know, all these imaginary boundaries that we have, they didn't even exist.
They don't.
Why we are so pissed off at each other, why we are, you know, why we bicker with each other, why we look down upon each other. We are all one, you know, we are simply all one. So I'll leave you with a quote from Nelson Mandela.
Yeah.
And he said, "I dream of an Africa which is in peace with itself." Have a blessed week, guys. It's been amazing having you. Till next week. See you.
Bye. It's been real.
Yep.